Roshan said that she has, on very rare occasions, seen older animals get parvo if they're not up to date on their booster shots. She recalled a family that brought a puppy home where they already had an old dog. Turned out the puppy had parvo, and a week later, so did the dog.
And they had just been lapsed 1 year on that vaccination.
Well, actually, the holistic vet, Dr. Dave McCluggage, had said that parvo is an example of a vaccination that doesn't always work.
Parvovirus, if you look at that one, only about some 82 or 85% of the dogs that are vaccinated that encounter parvo will be protected. So in other words, there's still 10, 15% of the dogs that will develop parvo. There's also a mistaken belief that, oh my goodness, this dog got the disease, let's say parvo, even though it had been vaccinated in the past, therefore we must vaccinate it more frequently, all the time, because some dog might get the disease, and there's no proof. In fact, all the evidence is contrary to that it increased frequency of vaccines doesn't improve the chance that your animal will not get the disease. It doesn't have anything to do with whether they've been recently vaccinated. It has to do with the health status of the animal, whether they're sick from something else at the moment, are they run down for some other reason, and the number of virus particles that come into their body right at the start with.
I really feel that maintaining that every 3-year interval is critical.
So the Humane Society and the holistic vet disagree about the 3-year booster. The Humane Society gives them for parvo and distemper. McCluggage doesn't. He also doesn't give Bordetella shots. The Humane Society does, but they pointed out that a crowded animal shelter is at especially high risk for kennel cough. But back in 2009, the Boulder Humane Society and the Longmont Holistic Vet had similar opinions about several lifestyle shots. For instance, the animal shelter Dr. Leslie Groshong said that few Colorado dogs need Lyme disease vaccine, since that illness isn't even in Colorado.
We don't even carry the Lyme disease vaccination. And if somebody requested it, we would have a hard time recommending it. If they were traveling to the East Coast, then we would certainly recommend it and probably just encourage them to get vaccinated when they arrive there. You know, there's a lot of vaccinations out there. There's a vaccine for a virulent strain, Calicivirus. Virus. There's Giardia vaccinations. There's lepto vaccinations, leptospirosis vaccinations. There's even the new rattlesnake vaccination.
The Boulder Valley Humane Society Clinic doesn't offer lifestyle vaccines, but both the holistic vet and the animal shelter vet agree that the first series of core shots for common diseases is crucial. You know, rabies, distemper, and parvo. And Groshong says it isn't painful for pets to get these shots. Take Chloe, the cat, getting a distemper shot. When she isn't wriggling free of the vet tech, just her on over to say hello. She just got a shot, and she didn't make any sound for the shot.
You're right. She didn't.
What's up, Chloe? You're awfully cute. Oh, yes. Look at your teeth. Oh, she says, I don't like that.
There's a lot of things that are worse than a vaccination. Having my mouth looked at is far worse.
The Humane Society staff gave me the impression that they feel that some private clinics still do give more shots than they at the shelter think are necessary. They wouldn't mention any names. Back at his Longmont clinic in 2009, Dave McCluggage, the vet who gives my creaky old dog acupuncture, did name a name.
One of the groups of people that use a lot of vaccine are the Banfield hospitals that operate inside the PetSmart chain of pet stores. They have a philosophy where they think vaccines are harmless, and therefore, since they're harmless, if there's any chance at any point in an animal's life that they might encounter a disease, then you should vaccinate for it. They are extremely to one side on the vaccine issue, in fact, farther into that side than pretty much any other vet clinic that I personally know about, to the point where in Colorado, the Banfields will routinely recommend a Lyme vaccine for dogs, and Lyme disease has never been in Colorado even once.
Is what they're doing good for their business?
Well, it probably is good for their business. They often sell these health plans where they say, we'll do a number of things for your animal and you pay us so much money a year. My view of that is that they're doing things that are probably unnecessary most of the time, as with vaccines, possibly harmful. And if you remove everything that's not necessary, then the plan becomes an expensive plan because you really don't need to do all these things for the animal every year.
Now, Dave McCluggage was giving these comments about the vet hospital chain as he, himself, was using plenty of needles. They certainly weren't needles for vaccinations, but in some crowds, his kind of needling would raise plenty of eyebrows. You see, this holistic vet was poking acupuncture needles into my creaky old dog, Brian. I decided to mention the irony.
You're against using too many needles for vaccination, but how many needles are in my Labrador Retriever, Brian, over here right now?
You know, I never count the needles because I'm always feeling the places that need them, but there's probably 15 or so, yeah.
He seems quite content.
Yes, dogs love acupuncture, yes. It's very helpful for them.
Personally, I also believe that acupuncture is helpful to my dog, but pet clinics that recommend a lot of vaccines say those vaccines are very helpful to dogs and cats and other pets, so who's right? After all, plenty of people might call the doggy acupuncture that McCluggage does a waste of money. Besides, he's just a small town vet, so what's he going to know compared to a large national chain such as Banfield that operates a large corporate office full of experts, plus veterinarians and nearly 800 PetSmarts treating millions of animals every year. With that much brain power, wouldn't their vaccination policies be smarter than the ideas spouted off by some small-town holistic vet? Or would Banfield's policies just be more corporate? And what shots did Banfield give to animals? And how could I find out? As luck would have it, back in 2009, an email arrived inviting KGNU to interview a local Banfield vet about their pet wellness programs. I accepted the invitation.
For dogs and cats, we are recommending that they get a full physical exam. So that includes looking at their eyes.
The local Banfield vet I had been invited to interview was well-informed and caring. She did mention some vaccines that the Boulder Valley Humane Society and Dr. Dave McCluggage had indicated that they don't offer, such as vaccines for leptospirosis.
Some dogs are very susceptible to leptospirosis. Other dogs are not. What we recommend is to vaccinate all dogs for that to help prevent it.
Lyme disease.
It's very low risk in the Denver-Boulder area, but there's other parts of the country that Lyme disease is a very high risk.
And Giardia.
Giardia can be spread through the water bowl, so we recommend that for some pets as well.
The Banfield vet offered reasonable explanations about why she offered these vaccines. So that might have been the end of this story about pets and shots. Except for what happened next. You see, 1 week later, Banfield sent a new email stating that the local Banfield vet had some concerns about how the interview went.
We had some concerns about how the interview went, particularly that it did not follow the topics presented to us prior to the interview. I understand that stories can change directions, but we appreciate knowing about changes of direction that are outside of the requested topic of discussion. If you could please provide me with an air date, I would appreciate it.
The email finished like this.
Our vaccine protocols at Banfield are based on the most up-to-date scientific research recommendations from our vaccine protocol review board, our external veterinarian advisory board, and guidelines established by the American Hospital Association and the American Association of Feline Practitioners.
Now, as a non-commercial alternative radio station, KGNU covers many controversial topics, yet formal written concerns from an interviewee's corporate office are almost as rare at KGNU as Lyme disease is in Colorado. This letter of concern was especially curious because I had asked similar questions about vaccines at the Boulder Valley Humane Society, and they'd been fine with them. Last but not least, the local Banfield vet had not mentioned anything particularly unusual about the company's vaccination policies, which made me wonder, why was Banfield going on the offensive about their vaccines? A few days later, someone higher up at Banfield Corporate sent another email stating more firmly that they were a little concerned.
We were a little concerned about the questions that were raised during the interview. Our doctor was taken by surprise as the questions asked did not coincide with what we presented her.
Now, Here's a phone recording of another rare complaint we got a few years back from a PR agency who said they represented a doctor we had given time to on air in a debate with a doctor we had selected, Ron Rosedale. And they were just concerned.
Just concerned about some of the comments that Dr. Rosedale made that maybe some patients who are listening to your show may have heard some of the comments he made about Avandia and may stop taking their medication.
Avandia is a diabetes drug. While the PR rep had started her phone message referencing her doctor's concerns, his name never came up again. The rest of the phone message focused on Avandia.
Some of Dr. Rosedale's comments were inaccurate. And then he also mentioned that Avandia, you know, kills people. I mean, these are very strong statements that he made.
The PR rep had ended the message suggesting that we were scaring people about Avandia and that we should issue a public retraction. We didn't, but we invited the PR rep's doctor to be part of another interview with Dr. Rosedale. The PR agency never responded. And, by the way, this summer, the FDA held hearings regarding a finding that shook the medical world. You see, it turns out that the maker of Avandia, GlaxoSmithKline, had suppressed research that warned of dangerous side effects from Avandia. The FDA panel concluded that the widely used drug had been killing people. Getting back to dogs and vaccines, for me, that Avandia phone call about concerns resonated with the Banfield corporate office email about concerns. In addition, when a large company says that they're a little concerned on behalf of a local employee, you can never really tell whether they're worried on behalf of their employee or using the employee as a foil for a corporate worry. So, was Banfield hiding something? Let's go back to that second email from the national pet hospital chain, Banfield.
We're a little concerned about the questions that were raised during the interview. Our doctor was taken by surprise as the questions asked did not coincide with what we presented her. We always try to eliminate this situation for our doctors. In order to put her at ease, we would like to listen to the interview before it goes to any radio stations. Is this possible? Please let us know as soon as possible.
I emailed back, offering to talk off the record with a local vet if she wanted to clarify something she had said. I offered to do a follow-up with a Banfield corporate spokesperson for more about their vaccination policies. I declined the corporate request to review this story before it broadcast. Banfield did not reply, but more research made it clear that for years, nationwide, the vet community has been divided about vaccinations. Some sources reported that vaccine policy discussions at professional gatherings had sometimes led to shouting matches. Some vets argued that the more vaccines, the better. They caused no harm, and they brought in customers. The other side argued that giving extra vaccines gouged the customer and hurt pets. And these issues regarding pets echoed issues about human vaccinations. For instance, 2 years ago, Dr. Bernadine Healy, the former director of the National Institutes of Health, went public about a huge controversy. She said the question of a link between vaccines and autism is still open for debate.
Perhaps genetically, perhaps they have a metabolic issue, mitochondrial disorder, immunological issue that makes them more susceptible to vaccines.
In an interview with CBS, Healy said that people would have more trust in human vaccines if there was more open public debate. In this story about pet vaccinations, I wanted more openness. Several sources, in addition to the Longmont Holistic Vet, told me that at many clinics, including Banfield's, vaccination policies had been very aggressive. But I had also heard that Banfield's vaccination policies had changed in some major ways, perhaps in the spring of 2009. But from what? And to what? Early this December, I contacted Banfield requesting an interview with an expert at the corporate level. Banfield Corporate requested a list of interview questions. Because the year before, the national pet hospital chain had complained that my off-the-cuff questions had caught their local vet by surprise, I emailed back a detailed list. 1 week later, I had those questions in my hand as I finally talked with their corporate spokesperson.
Dr. Karen Johnson, client advocate for Banfield Pet Hospital.
I looked at the list of questions that Banfield had requested and read word by word, question one. 5 years ago, what were the annual vaccinations recommended by Banfield Vets?
Well, I can't speak specifically to what they were 5 years ago, but what I can tell you is that we do review the practice reviews, all of our vaccine protocols on a yearly basis. I'm not trying to avoid your question, but it's old information.
This puzzled me because despite sending a list of questions in advance, I was getting a fuzzy answer from Dr. Karen Johnson. But I did hear about a Banfield Pet Hospital that didn't sound like its policy was one size fits all when it comes to shots.
An example of that might be, a dog that has a disease involving their immune system. Vaccinations stimulate the immune system, so in that patient, the veterinarian may decide that, vaccinating that patient is not a good thing to do.
Johnson said Banfield no longer gives Giardia vaccines. That's the vaccine that the local holistic vet, McCluggage, had told me the year before was a bad vaccine. Johnson said the whole vet community now agreed with that. McCluggage had scoffed at Lyme disease vaccine for Colorado pets. Johnson said that Banfield does offer it, but only to clients who travel to the East Coast with their pets, where ticks that carry Lyme are more common. Banfield also got a new dog flu shot. Johnson emphasized that it's only for pets that might catch the flu.
It's not recommended. Unless you're, in a hotbed of canine influenza cases and your dog has exposure to, pets that may have that.
Now, the small-town vet, Dr. Dave McCluggage, had said that the risk of adverse reactions from shots is higher than most people realize. Banfield's Dr. Karen Johnson said the risk is very small. Still, she added that it really doesn't make sense to vaccinate more than what's really needed.
Dogs used to go in and get vaccinations once a year, and they got all of them at that time. Is that the best way to vaccinate every dog and cat? Probably not.
Those were helpful answers. But whenever I tried to get a clear answer about what Banfield's vaccination policies had been, Johnson seemed vague. Even when I gave a very specific question.
On distemper again, it's 3 years now. What was it 2 years ago? What was the general recommendation of Banfield?
It was two years ago, I'm pretty sure. I don't know the exact time that changed. And we've been doing the three-year distemper for quite a while.
But was quite a while for the last few months or for over a decade? Or was it back in the spring of 2009? Spring 2009 did come up now and then, such as this explanation from the Banfield Corporate Communications team, who was listening in.
Hey, Shelley, this is Kim. We switched March 2009.
Okay. March 2009 was when the distemper shot became a three-year shot instead of a one-year shot.
It was when we did a last big revision to our vaccine protocols. Was March 2009.
Right, but I think we've been doing the three-year distemper for longer than that.
After that interview, I phoned the Boulder Valley Humane Society's community clinic and asked them when they had switched from the annual distemper shots to three-year boosters. Here's what they said.
The three-year vaccine protocol came out so long ago that no one can remember when it started. Our public veterinary practice started the three-year vaccine protocol at some point prior to 2001. We believe we started it as soon as all the studies came out from, AHA and CSU and those.
One of the nation's top vet schools at Colorado State University said basically the same thing.
It's Paula calling from Colorado State University, and I spoke with Dr. Ruckdally just now, and she said it was 1998 when we went to the three-year protocol with the DA2PP.
This fit with what I had learned last spring when I traveled to Fort Collins to learn in person about the latest vaccination guidelines from AHA, which stands for the American Animal Hospital Association. My guide to these policies had been an expert on the CSU faculty.
My name is Rebecca Ruckgally. I am the clinical coordinator of the community practice rotation at CSU Veterinary Teaching Hospital and assistant professor in the department.
Rather than chatting, let's get right to it. The guidelines for vaccinations have just changed. And how big a deal is that?
They've changed actually a while ago. The original guidelines that came out with the standard three-year protocol actually came out closer to 2003 for the cat group, 2006 for AHA. And so they've actually gone through revisions again, trying to keep up with what we know about new technology that's coming out.
How recent are the new revisions?
2009.
Dr. Rebecca Ruckgally explained that at AHA, the American Animal Hospital Association, vaccination recommendations get adjusted anytime new research findings pave the way for a better policy. In the vet world, that research has been paving the way toward a much more individualized approach to vaccinations than the old-fashioned give annual shots and vaccinate every pet with everything policies.
It's a hard thing to be able to go from this blanket vaccine protocol that we used to have to we need to look at our individual patients. Animals do respond to vaccines differently, and so we may not get the same effect from their immune system and the same protection.
What this means is something that human vaccination policymakers might want to consider. You see, our national childhood immunizations are basically one size fits all. In the pet world, they're moving away from that to assure immune system kick-in for a family pet. In some animals, an animal might need more boosters. Animals whose immune systems respond more quickly might do fine with fewer boosters. And pets that show signs of adverse reactions might need much more gentle schedules, such as fewer combination vaccines and more single jabs given over several days or weeks or months. And Rukigali said, don't forget the dog or cat that's a couch potato.
The three-year protocol is a recommendation based on science and based on kind of the couch potato dog that hangs out in the home. Protocols that we used to use where everybody got every vaccine that was available every year. And the controversy now is you need to look at the risk of that particular animal getting that particular disease and how ill they might become from that disease, and really develop a protocol that fits that particular patient.
Is the issue that it's expensive to give vaccines, is the issue that there can be adverse reactions from giving vaccines?
Yes, both of those things. So some people have a hard time affording, especially in this tough economic times, affording vaccines and affording the exam fee that should be going along with those vaccines. But more importantly, we worry about the effects, the long-term effects of those vaccinations given every year on that particular animal.
What kind of adverse reactions can be increased in their risk from vaccines?
One of the things that we've looked at is whether or not we are seeing an increase in immune-mediated diseases, so things like allergies, immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, those sorts of things from vaccination.
What is a hemolytic anemia?
It's basically when your blood cells get attacked by your body.
How about kidney failure?
What exactly do you mean?
Some vets have told me that they believe that there may be an increased incidence of kidney failure, especially in cats and older dogs that have had a lot of vaccines throughout their life.
Anytime that you actually immunize an animal, what you're doing is triggering the immune system, and you're developing something called antibodies to something called an antigen that you just put in their system. And those form kind of a conglomerate with each other, an antigen-antibody complex, and they can cause some damage in the kidneys.
Well, that's right, because kidneys are little tiny filters, and those conglomerates can glom up in the kidneys.
Right.
And over time, they can glom up more if there's been more activation of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that close enough?
Yep, that's okay. Perfect.
All right.
Now, in that line of questions, I was simply repeating ideas that have been explained to me by the small-town holistic vet, Dave McCluggage. You know, the guy who gives acupuncture to our creaky old dog and who started this investigation in 2009 by saying that too many vaccines can cost a pet owner too much money and they can hurt a pet. When McCluggage first told me that way back then, he sounded way out. But so far, the CSU scientist was saying that McCluggage had been forward-thinking. How about the other side of the veterinary practice? National chains such as Banfield. Dr. Rebecca Ruchgalli said that a lot of the larger hospital chains had been big on one-size-fits-all protocols, but many are changing.
The shift in vaccine protocols from hospitals that were using annual vaccination and using all vaccines that were out and available for every animal, really they shifted and stepped back a little bit to look at the risk versus benefit ratio of those vaccines.
What are some examples of the pet hospitals that are the national groups that were using frequent vaccines that way a year ago or so?
Yeah, as far as I know, Banfield was actually one of them and probably the one that was in the limelight most often. And they've actually looked at that and stepped back a little bit from it. Within the last year at least, maybe a little bit longer.
So it sounded like Banfield had been slower to shift away from the one-size-fits-all vaccination than many vets. I find myself wondering whether that's why, when I interviewed them, they were vague in saying when they had made the shift. On the other hand, in general, Dr. Rebecca Rook-Galley recommended three-year boosters for distemper and parvo. She recommended Bordetella for kennel cough, and in areas where it's a common illness, she recommended leptospirosis. In these ways, the CSU vet scientist was more in step with the Banfield chain than she was with the holistic vet. That left the most controversial idea from Dr. Dave McCluggage. If you recall, he does recommend three-year boosters for rabies as required by law, but he pointed out that if we ever funded longer-term studies, we would likely discover that the rabies vaccine is good for life. That seems such a crazy thing to say. But Rook-Galley said that from a science perspective, it just might be that the childhood rabies shots for animals last for their entire life.
It depends on what research you look at. Some say yes, some say no.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Exactly.
Is the research persuasive on both sides?
Yes. We can run titer levels to see if their immune system, it really is high enough to protect them if they get exposed.
Basically, the CSU scientist was saying that there are ways, by drawing blood, to see whether the rabies titers, meaning the concentrations of rabies antibodies, were still adequate in an animal's system, even if they're not up to date on their shots. But there was a problem with these scientific titers.
Unfortunately, in the U.S., that still doesn't have any legal ramifications. They can't substitute titers, rabies titers, in lieu of rabies vaccination. And in some areas, if you're an animal, then you're not current on your rabies vaccine and you get exposed, that is a death sentence. And so I want to make sure that my clients really understand what the ramifications are of not vaccinating that particular pet.
So the answer is not a scientific one. It's a policy one, which might lead free-thinking people to maybe think like this.
Lassie, with all the science controversy, I don't know if we have to give you your rabies shots anymore. There's a chance you might be immune from rabies with the shots that you've already had. Oh, wait. The law says that if anybody thinks that you might have rabies, and we don't have proof of your shots, they might cut your head off and examine it in a laboratory. How horrible! Lassie, I think we'll get your three-year rabies shot.
Now, after all this, what about me and our creaky old dog, Brian? Well, this week, we went back to the office of Longmont Holistic Vet Dave McCluggage, who, by the way, it turns out isn't really just a small-town vet. He's held many national positions on veterinary panels. In 2000, he was awarded the honored National Holistic Vet of the Year. It's interesting to talk with him.
How's Brian?
I think he's doing good. As he puts acupuncture needles in our creaky-jointed dog, Brian. I want to minimize things that might inflame his joints. And he's not ever been a sickly dog in other ways. And he's not boarding at kennels where he'd be exposed to other illnesses. And he's already had so many shots in his short dog life. For all these reasons, I had decided not to order three-year boosters for distemper and parvo for him anymore. But why, then, was McCluggage getting out a syringe? That's the three-year booster for rabies.
Yes, we strongly urge people to keep up with the rabies shots, not because we're worried about rabies, but we're worried about the legal ramifications around the disease if you don't.
Well, one shot.
Right, Bella. Thanks to Lynn for reading the emails in this story. Thanks to Evan, Kathy, Raleigh, and Cindy for being the voices from Lassie. And thanks to you for listening. Questions or comments? Call the KGNU comment line, 303-447-9911. For KGNU, I'm Shelley Schlender.